houses exalted by God and desecrated by the godless. In the name of God, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Salam, dear listeners, and condolences to you all on a very tragic day. Today is the 13th of the month of Jamadi al-Awwal, the day the most noblest lady of all times achieved martyrdom 75 days after the departure of her illustrious father from the mortal world. Her grief in the brief period that she lived after her father was profound because of the calamities she had suffered at the hands of those who had usurped her inheritance, deprived her husband of his right of political leadership of the Ummah, and smashed the door of her house upon her. She was none other than Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace upon her, the Immaculate Daughter of the Almighty's last and greatest messenger, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Before we present you a special feature on this tragic anniversary of the supreme symbol of all feminine virtues, here is Ayah 36 of Surah Nur of the Noble Quran regarding houses sanctified by God Almighty. In houses Allah has allowed to be exalted, and wherein His name is celebrated, He is glorified therein, morning and evening. The renowned Sunni scholar Tha'labi, in his exegesis of the Noble Quran titled Tafsir al-Kabir, has mentioned on the authority of Anas ibn Malik and Buraida that, when asked about the divinely exalted houses, the Prophet said the reference is to the abodes of the prophets. At this, Abu Bakr stood up and asked, O Messenger of God, is the house of Ali and Fatima also among those houses? The Prophet replied, Yes, rather the greater one of those houses. Indeed, this is the gist of undeniable truth. In view of the fact that Ayahs 3 and 4 of Surah Najm state that Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, never speaks of his own desire, and whatever he says is divinely inspired. In other words, the expressions of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, are articles of faith, and any doubt about their meaning, intent, and purport places a big question mark on the faith of the doubter. God knows the fate of the persons also directly heard from the Prophet and yet disobeyed him. History, however, bears testimony that no sooner did the Prophet leave the mortal world, a group of his companions who usurped the caliphate or political rule of the state in order to deprive Imam Ali, peace upon him, of divine right of political leadership, violated the sanctity of the blessed threshold of the Immaculate Fatima, peace upon her. As all authentic books of hadith have mentioned, this group of roadies did not stop at their loud threats and rude rappings of the door where the Prophet used to salute every morning after revelation of Ayah 33 of Surah Ahzab on the pristine purity of the Ahlul Bayt. They blasphemously set fire to the door and smashed it upon Fatima, peace upon her, the paragon of all virtues. The result of this sacrilege was broken ribs and miscarriage for the Prophet's daughter. as the stillborn Mohsen became the first martyr of the Ahlul Bayt, ironically killed by those styling themselves the political heirs of the Prophet. This is the reason we are clad in black today on the 13th of Jamadil Awwal to commemorate the martyrdom of the Pride of the Virgin Mary, who following this shocking incident had turned into a faded flower in the prime of youth, walking with the aid of a stick and reciting the heartrending elegy, "O Father, had the calamities that befell me after you were to fall on bright days, they would have turned into dark nights." Several questions arise on the anniversary of this calamity. Why did the regime that had seized power in Medina from those exalted by God desecrate the divinely decreed sanctity of a blessed house? Why did the principal attacker threaten to burn down the whole house along with the four little grandchildren of the Prophet inside it, the boys Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, and the girls Zainab and Umme Kulthum, peace upon them? Had he and his accomplices not seen the Prophet interrupting his sermon from the pulpit to come down and take his elder grandson in his arms when the boy tipped and fell while entering the Prophet's mosque? Was he not in the row of prostrating worshippers when the Prophet prolonged the prostration before lifting his head only after the toddler Hussein, peace upon him, the younger grandson, had gotten off his back? Didn't this person witness the triumph of Islam over Christianity at the historic field of Mubahale when, as per God's commandment in Ayah 61 of Surah Al Imran, the Prophet took with him for a unique challenge to sift truth from falsehood, no one else except his daughter, her two sons and her husband, the impeccable Imam Ali, peace upon him? Moreover, why did these usurpers confiscate Fatima's patrimony of the orchard of Fadak that was given to her by her father in his lifetime, as a small compensation for the vast wealth of her mother, Ummul Mu'minin Khadija, peace upon her, who died penniless after spending all her riches to clothe, feed, and shelter the persecuted new Muslims of Mecca? Many more questions flash across our minds when we recall this first ever act of terrorism in the history of Islam by persons hailed as Salaf or progenitors by today's seditious Salafi Takfiri cannibalistic terrorists who masquerade as Muslims to desecrate mosques and shrines, massacre innocent men, women and children, and eat livers and other organs of their human victims. The answer is obvious. Terrorists and traitors have no religion. In pursuit of ulterior political motives, they pay mere lip service to nationalistic tendencies in order to promote a free-willing life of paganism. Since the Prophet's Ahlul Bayt are bulwarks of monotheism and the virtuous way of life, these enemies of humanity assault houses exalted by God. Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace upon her, thus did not court martyrdom without any cause or for the loss of any earthly possession and worldly status. In fact, the lady whom God hails in the noble Quran as Kauthar or a spring of perpetual abundance, endured all these calamities for the sake of God. In defense of the mission of her father, especially the fundamental principle of velayat, or divinely decreed succession to nubuwwat, for the guidance of human societies that was vested in her husband, Imam Ali, peace upon him, on the day of Qadir, 18th of Dhul-Hajjah, 10 AH, on revelation of Ayah 67 of Surah Ma'idah, she risked her life. The ill-begotten terrorist burst into her house to take Imam Ali, peace upon him, for a forced swearing of allegiance to the coup leaders. But as pointed out by this immaculate lady in her famous sermon in the Prophet's Mosque, they exposed themselves as usurpers of the political leadership of the Ahlul Bayt for all time. This is evident by the mass murderers, fornicators, adulterers, drunkards, and the godless who throughout history opposed God-oriented systems through different means, even posing as caliphs. No wonder Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace upon her, had predicted when she left the mosque after addressing the usurpers as part of her electrifying sermon on the fundamentals of Islam and the facts of the neo-Muslim society that had emerged from centuries of ignorance, idol worship, dirtiness, and all kinds of sins. Now hang to this cheap dromedary of caliphate of yours, and release it not. But beware, the hump of this camel is injured, while there are blisters and holes in its feet. It carries the scars of ignominy and the sign of wrath of Allah. Eternal shame is attached to it.